Turn in your Bibles to the 9th chapter of the book of Revelation. I only want us to look at two verses in chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. They tell us of the sins of the tribulation time. They're very important in that respect. And what I see as I look at our modern world is how that these sins are becoming so prevalent and how that they're escalating. And things are waxing worse and worse as we move toward the end. But there's a very sad picture of the human race painted here in verse 20 and 21. And if a person did not believe in total depravity, I'm not sure he'd be able to explain a verse like the two we're going to look at tonight. If ever there's evidence of man being a totally depraved sinner, it's here. Think about it. For 5 months, this horde of mean demons has been turned loose on the earth. Then we've got these infernal cavalry turned loose on the inhabitants of the earth, probably for 13 months or something like that. You would think by this time that the whole earth would be in a state of repentance like the city of Nineveh. But it's not. Why is that? Well, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 says that the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. And so, the judgments of God do not necessarily lead men to repentance. There is certainly much judgment upon sin in hell, but there's nothing said about the rich man in Luke 16 ever repenting. The demons believe in their torment, but they never are said to repent. That's remarkable when you think about it. Now, I'm just going to read the two verses, and then I'll go back and look at them in detail there. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Quite a number of violations of the commandments here. 4 commandments that pertain to man have been violated here, and 2 commandments that pertain to God have been violated here, especially the 2nd commandment. Now, when it says there, the rest of the men, that of course means the people that remained after the seal judgment and after these trumpet judgments thus far. I don't know how many people may die during the time of this infernal Calvary. I just really don't know. I know they're not going to die during the time of the demons, but they're going to seek death and it'll flee from them. But when you think about all of the wars of the tribulation that start over there under the red horse, all of the martyrdom of the saints and all the people that die, at least a half of the earth's population by the middle of the tribulation period, it is very difficult to know how many people will be dead. I would say that the human race will be at its lowest ebb by this time. I can't imagine that, well, you've got over half the population of the earth dead any way you want to look at it. That's a lot of dead corpse. And so it's a very terrible time. You'd think, though, that all of that trouble, I mean, if ever they would recognize there's a God in heaven that rules in the kingdom of men, that they would recognize that. But they do not. Instead, what are they doing? They're worshiping the devil. The very opposite of what they ought to be doing. Look at the first part of that there. They didn't repent, but it says, not of the works of their hands, that they should worship devils. What are they doing? They're worshiping the devil. Here are people very much like Pharaoh of old. All the judgments of God has done nothing but harden their hearts. They prefer demons to deity, stones instead of the Savior, and mammon instead of the Master. What an awful state of depravity is seen there in the heart of men. Like I said, there are 6 sins condemned in the verses to follow. There are 2 of the sins against God, and the other 4 are against man. though in a sense all violations of the Ten Commandments are against God, as I point out in my book. But let's go back and look at this. There's really a threefold stage that always follows in human depravity. You could observe this in heathenism. You could observe it here in the tribulation time. Perhaps I could say you could observe it here in the United States of America. What happens there is, first of all, a rejection of God. That's followed then by worshiping of idols. If you turn away from the true God, you'll turn to idols. It might be materialism. It might be all kinds of things, but it'll be something that'll take the place of God. And then that's followed, thirdly, by gross immorality, or time when there ain't no morals of any kind. And that is the stages that you go through there. You have rejection of God, then a turning to idolatry, and finally moral decay and crimes of every sort. And I'll let you guess which stage I think we're in here in this country now. I really believe we're in the third stage already. I think that's where we're at. Now, the remarkable thing is that these are the sins that keep men from repentance. I wonder if you counted the number of times the word of occurs there. It occurs about seven times. As if God is telling us something there. I believe the word is translated of. I believe is the word ek that means out of. Out of. If I remember. I haven't looked it up today, but I think that's what it is. So what you have, first of all, is devil worship. You'd think in this culture and in the Latin time in which we live that there wouldn't be anybody crazy enough to worship the devil. I mean, they don't worship the true God. Surely they wouldn't worship the devil. But in fact, Satan worship is on the increase right here in this country. That's astonishing to me. They tell the people that all we need is more education. Well, the more education we get, it seems like we reject the true God and worship the devil more. Must be something wrong somewhere. That's heathenism. That's paganism. That's not civilization. How tragic when you think about it. So these people are no longer what we'd call atheists or humanists or skeptics and agnostics or communists or socialists. They are open Satanists. They make no bones about it. They wander after the beast. They worship the beast in his image. Now, I could be wrong about this, but due to the fact that all the stress here is on the worship of Satan, it tells me the world church has already been destroyed. It's not here. Otherwise, some of them would be involved in that. Either that, the worship of the world church has turned into Satanism, and that's a possibility too. But it may be that the Antichrist has already destroyed the world church by this time. It's hard to keep sequence straight in the book of Revelation. I at least have difficulty at times. But you know, this is no more than the Bible says what's going to happen. Over here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits." That's demons. They're called familiar spirits back in the Old Testament. "And doctrines of demons." So the Bible, instead of predicting that this age is going to end in a world conversion, as our postmillennialist friends teach, rather teaches that it's going to end in an age when people will have a great revival of idolatry, especially Satanism. I believe if I were postmillennialist, I'd hang up my clothes and go home on face of something that plain. I mean, instead of revival of religion, you're going to have a revival of Satanism. That's how this age is going to end. So much for the postmillennial doctrine of a converted world. It'll be just the opposite. You talk about fellows that miss the boat. They missed it. They didn't even get in it. They're not even to see. They're so far off. And then over here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." If postmillennialism was true, they'd be waxing better and better, you see. "Deceiving and being deceived." Who could be more deceived than a man that worships the devil? I mean, that is the very depth of Satan itself. Worshiping a mere creature that God made. The anointed cherub and all of that. So they're no longer atheists and communists and all of that. They're just plain old open Satanists. They worship demons. They worship the devil. And somehow I get the impression here that they believe by worshiping the devil, they may become as gods. Somehow I believe that the old slogan of the devil back over there in the Garden of Eden has pretty well been sold to the world by this time. If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms. If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll make you as gods. They seem to be embracing the doctrine. You know, all demon worship is worship of the devil. People say, well, I don't worship the devil. I worship demons. It's the same thing. Demons are little imps of the devil. I mean, you can't worship the family if you don't worship the pappy. It's that simple. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 20 says, But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons. Now they claim they were making these sacrifices to various idol gods, you know. Gods of the Greeks and gods of the Romans and all this kind of stuff. But Paul said it's all devil worship. And not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. And our King James Version has the word devil every time. In the plural, it's the word demons. It actually is another word. There's only one diabolos. That's the word for devil in the Greek, but there are many demons. And so when it talks about devils in the plural, it really is talking about demons. So we have not only here open Satanists, but we have people that are worshiping all kinds of idols. And you know, they're worshiping, in fact, the worst kind of an idol. I never thought about this much until yesterday and the day before when I studied this some. I think it's better sometime to worship the sun and the moon and the stars that God made than it would be to make an idol with your own hands and worship that. Now, you think about that for a little while. We know that all idolatry is wrong. Don't get the idea that I'm saying it would be all right to worship the sun, moon, and the stars. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying at least you'd be worshiping something that the Creator made. But when you think about it, if you make a little idol god of wood or silver, whatever you want to make it out of, that's what you made with your own hands. So what essentially you're saying is we don't like God, so we're going to make us a god like we want. So we can control him and we can pull the strings on him, you see. And so what you want to do, you want to bring God down to a level below man in that. And so they were engaging here in the worst kind of worship because they were worshiping the creation of their own hands. You know, this was all foretold by Moses way back there in the book of Deuteronomy. Over there in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 28. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which can neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. So, well, how do you know he's talking there about the tribulation period? Well, go on down to verse 30 and he talks about it. He's telling about the idolatry of the tribulation period there. Then in chapter 31 of the book of Deuteronomy, I'm just showing you that this is a very old prophecy that's coming to pass. Deuteronomy 31 and 29. For I know that after my death ye shall utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days. Now, why will that evil come upon them in the latter days? Because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. That's idolatry. Anytime it talks about the work of your hands, it's talking about little idols you make with your hands. I can stand up here and recite a number of scriptures like Psalms 115, verses 4 to 8, 135, 15, Isaiah 2 and 8, Jeremiah 1:16. Jeremiah 25, 6, 7, 14, Acts 17, 29, many others, that all talk about people making these little gods out of their own hands and then worshiping them. So I say again, the worst idol in all the world that any man can worship is one that is made with his own hands. That's the lowest form of idolatry. That's the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. Now, we know that the Antichrist is going to make an image of himself. But evidently, You'll require that they make little images of wood and silver and gold and all that, and you'll have to carry them around, maybe put them on your dashboard, you know, or hang them up in your house. I don't know. But I think it all goes back to that, because what they're doing, they're worshiping the Antichrist, whose father's the devil. So it's a form of devil worship. And they've got these little idols. They're bowing down to the idols like they did there in Babylon in the days of Daniel. Over there in Revelation 13, we're going to get a little bit ahead here and look at verse 14 through 15. And deceive them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. This is a false prophet, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Probably there'd be one great image made and put in the temple, and then they'll make a lot of others and scatter them all over the world in that day. Which had the wound by a sword and did live. An image, of course, is an idol god made with the hands. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So if you don't have a little idol in your home and you don't carry one around to prove that you are a worshiper of the beast, they'll execute you. They'll put you to death by the sword. Later on in this same book of Revelation, that idol is still stressed in the 19th chapter. In verse 20, tells how that the false prophet and the beast had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. So a part of the tribulation period is going to be the worship of idol gods. In fact, it'll be a time when all the world will wonder after the beast. And I'm afraid we're headed that way faster than I want to think about. Think about all the scientific training and advancement in education we've had. And yet, even in our own time, more and more people are turning to the occultism, astrology, spiritism, all kinds of things, not turning to the true God as we might suppose. And like I said, they're worshiping the worst kind of idols, one that they made with their own hands. So I point out again that this age is not going to end with a great worldwide revival. It's going to end all right with a revival, but it'll be a revival of idolatry and a revival of the worship of Satan. That's what we're headed to. I don't know what people will do in the way of these idols. I'll tell you what they're already doing now, especially people in the Roman Catholic Church. They got these little idols around their neck, and they've got them on displays on the dashboard of their cars. And they even build them out in the front yard. And some so-called churches have got them standing outside, one right up here at Mantachie. Image standing right outside the church up there. I wouldn't go nowhere near that place. To me, I know what's going on there, because if you got an image out there in your churchyard, that tells me just about all I need to know. I don't need to know anything about what's going on inside. I can see on the outside what's going on. It's my satisfaction. It's a terrible thing. Anybody that believes in God does not need an idol. You see, God is a spirit. You don't need anything to help you worship God. You can't make an image of a spirit. It doesn't have any image. So idol gods are an insult to the true God that is a spirit. All right, let's go on down now to verse 21 there and look at the four sins here, especially of the tribulation period. And these are concerning man primarily. He says murder. You note that it's in the plural here, all of this, except fornication, which is a word that covers all kinds of things, as I'll point out later. Murders. Remember back over there in chapter 6, verse 4, the red horse went forth with a sword to kill people. So murders will start rather early during the time of the tribulation. Are we not told in John chapter 8 and verse 44 that the devil is a murderer from the beginning? I can add a little to that. He'll be a murderer all the way to the end. He killed himself spiritually. Committed Harry Carey, as we might call it. Separated himself eternally from God. He wasn't content with that. He killed the human race, and he also separated about one-third of the angels. He killed them in that he separated them from God. So he's a murderer, all right. Back behind every murderer in the world is the devil, because he was a murderer from the beginning. He's the original murderer, and any time murder's around, he's not too far off. He's somewhere in the shadows, I'll assure you. Because he's a murderer from the very beginning. What I see here is that murder will become a way of life, a normal way of settling problems. And it'll be so common, going on every day, until finally the news media will just quit reporting it. It won't be news anymore. It'll be so commonplace. You know, when I was a boy growing up, most of the murders that I heard about that were committed usually by some gangster. Al Capone, Pretty Boy Floyd, Alvin Karps, all these fellows went around, killing people, shooting down policemen, Bunny and Clyde using policemen for target practice and all this kind of stuff. But you know, everybody that's being killed today is not being killed by gangsters. We've got fathers and mothers killing one another. We've got college kids killing people. We got young people killing people. We got little children killing people. Murder has become the order of the day. And our society is doing very little to arrest this problem. And according to the Bible, rather than getting better, it's going to get worse and worse until a man's life will be in jeopardy almost every day that he lives upon this earth. I wish I could tell you that good times are ahead, but I can't. There's bad times ahead, and we might as well be honest about it. Then we have the word here, sorceries, which most time we associate that with sorcerers and the like, people that dabble in the black arts. But in the Greek, it's pharmakia, best I can say it, which is a word from which we get our word pharmacy and pharmaceutical and all these other root words that are so common to us today. And it really would be, if we put it in modern English, probably be druggins. Instead of sorceries, I'd say druggins. Or we could say drug abuse. I don't think that would violate the meaning of the word either there. But if you go back and study the black arts all the way back, I mean through the Middle Ages, back in the Old Testament time, there's always these stupefying and hallucinating drugs that were associated with sorcery and witchcraft all through the Old Testament and the New. And I got news for you. They're still being associated with it today. And I'm afraid that a lot of the young kids that are getting involved with ecstasy and all these other drugs, LSD years ago in my time was very prevalent drug, crack cocaine they call it today and all this other stuff, people don't know that they're engaging in what I'd call a form of Satanism. You see, the first thing the devil has to do before he can conquer a man is get his mind all messed up. Well, what does those drugs do? They mess up a fellow's mind. It's like I told one man one time, I said, I hadn't got much sense when I'm normal. And I said, the last thing in the world I need to do is take some kind of drug or take some kind of alcohol or something and put out what little wit I got left. But what happens there... As soon as these people get under control of these drugs, then the demons come in there and take over their minds. We see all this terrible killing, talk about serial killers and all of that. That's probably a lot of people have been on a lot of drugs, and the demon has just completely taken over their life. That's probably what all that is. According to Revelation 18 and 23, one of the sins of commercial Babylon, I didn't say religious Babylon, commercial Babylon is sorceries or drug abuse. I know today we have a revival of all kinds of what we call the dope habit when I was growing up. And it's getting worse. There was a time when there was hardly any around here anyway. And I'm certain now you could get some probably within 2 or 3 miles of this church if the truth were known. I won't try to pin it down to anybody's house, but I know there was a time you could have got one at least within a mile of this house. I have no doubt of that from all the information that I have. So I'm telling you that it's everywhere. It's in our public schools. Even in some churches, they're taking drugs to get high. I've heard of even some churches using ecstasy so as to get in the spirit, they say, and all this kind of stuff. So all of that is nothing in the world but a form of Satanism. And like I said, the devil, he wants to knock people out of their minds so he can take over their bodies and all of that. So what this means is all kind of enchantments by drugs and the dope habit being increased. In other words, drugs will just be sold like you'd buy a candy and soda pop in the grocery store. If we can get a few more years of Hillary and Bill Clinton or somebody like that, we'll have all these drugs legalized and you can go down and buy them for a very reasonable price. Because that's what the liberals intend to do. and even some of our conservative friends. That's supposed to be conservative. I wonder about one fellow who believes it's all right to sell marijuana. Claims to be a great Mr. Conservative. I don't think he's very conservative myself. After all, what do you expect out of a man that's Catholic? You can't expect too much out of him. So I guess that's about what you'd expect out of a man like that. And then he talks about fornication. And that's a word in the Bible that includes all forms of sexual impurity. It includes what we call fornication and adultery, lesbianism, homosexuality, cohabitation with a beast, you name it. It's all included there. And that word fornication, it's a general word used in the Bible for all kinds of sexual impurities. So it can cover all of it. So what's happened here, all religious restraint of what's called sexual freedom has been removed so that adultery, fornication, sodomy, lesbianism, and all forms of sexual perversion have become commonplace. In other words, the world accepts them as a norm. It's all right to do your own thing in that respect. And what you'll have by that time is a complete debasement of marriage. Divorce will be the norm. The family unit will be a thing of the past. And the rearing of children will be a state project. After all, we've had one lady that advocates it takes the state to raise a child. You've got to have a whole village, you know. Mom and daddy can't handle it. You've got to have a whole village to do it. Well, that's right out of the pits of hell, if you want to know the truth, right out of the horrors of the tribulation period. And anybody can't see that would be a wayfaring man or a fool in my estimation. So you're going to have a great decline in the family. And I've seen a lot of that in my lifetime, so much that it astonishes me as I get older. I can't believe the breakdown in the family that I've seen in my lifetime. It's a very sad thing to think about. And so when I look around today and see the breakdown of marriage and the family, I can only wonder what the tribulation is going to be like. I can only say that I shudder. I shudder to think about the time when the family will be a thing of the past. I mean, it's going to be a terrible time. And then the last sin that is mentioned there is thefts. After all, Satan is a thief. He steals. His favorite pastime is stealing souls. He's a thief. You can mark it down. He's a thief, the worst kind in the world when you think about it. He'll steal your honor. He'll steal your integrity. He'll steal your courage. He'll steal anything that he can. He's a thief. He's a crook. And so, like Satan, men will become thieves. Well, I've never seen so much stealing in the last few years. Corporate stealing. Thieves breaking into banks and robbing. People's houses being broken into. Cars being stolen. Going to chop shops and all this kind of foolishness. Well, there's going to be an increase in this as we draw near the time of the tribulation. Honesty and integrity will be very rare, and theft will be approved. I even hear some businessmen saying that you can't make a living and be honest businessmen anymore. Well, that's philosophy right out of hell, right out of the tribulation period. Now, I want to stress why that word of occurred seven times, if I counted correctly. I know it's there at least about seven times that I noticed. And it's always followed in connection with the verb repent. So what we're seeing here is sins that keep people from repentance. And if they prevent repentance, then they prevent salvation, because you've got to repent before you can believe the gospel. So the repetition of that preposition of after the verb repent reveals that true repentance demands total deliverance out of society that pollutes by these sins. So then, real repentance is to forsake all kind of drug abuse, murders, fornication of all kind of stealing and worshiping of idols and worshiping the devil. You've got to get rid of all that stuff before you can really and truly repent. So what we've seen here is sins that keep men from repentance. And true repentance means that all these things would be forsaken. But they repented not. Like I said, only the goodness of God leads men to repentance. The judgment of God will not bring men to repentance. Not in hell, not on earth, not any other time. Only the goodness of God can lead men to repentance. Let us stand as we sing.